I think, okay, the agenda that I sent out wasn't in the usual format. I'm not sure what happened there, but here it is. And we're following the usual flow of credentialed community group meetings. So hi, everyone. Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the Verifiable Credentials for Education Roundup and get thoughts on, you know, is that a good starting set? What do we think about the approach? What are the, you know, challenges that we'll face? And basically the goal is to turn that into pretty much one of our first task force work items that we'll have going along with, you know, over the course of a few months or something like this. So let's see. Let's start with the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So to join the CCG, so it's free. All you need is basically a W-3 account. First, you create a W-3 account this way, and then you join the credentials community group at this following link. So very easy, free. Just make sure that you sign the W-3 agreement with IP release. And then if you want to read more about the community contributor license agreement, that's available at this location that I'm pasting into IRC. Okay, call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the following location I'm pasting into IRC. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. And let us know if you want to connect and are having problems connecting. All attendees should type present plus, the word present, the symbol plus, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. To add yourself to the queue, type Q plus, that's the letter Q, and then the symbol plus, no space in between, to add yourself to the queue. And you can add an optional reminder, Q plus space to the word TO, to mention something. And if you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. Okay, now it's the part where we look for a scribe. So do we have any volunteers to scribe today?
This is Nate. I could do it today.
Thank you so much, Nate. Okay, I'm marking you. Now for the introductions and reintroductions. So I wanted to call on Victoria, if you could introduce yourself and your colleague.
Oh, yeah, sure. Good morning, guys. This is Victoria. I am the founder and CEO of Academic. What we're doing is the competency-based digital credentials for academic and professional data hubs, and mainly for reduced application process, especially for international students come to U.S. and between the colleges and high schools and also corporations. And I have my colleague Hamza here. He is the our project manager, and he will be more professional on how exactly we design the product. And we would like to be here, all the experts of what exactly people are doing, and then we want to learn more about it. Thank you.
Great. And I didn't get your colleague's name. Can you say that again, please?
Hamza.
Okay, thank you. We have in the meeting minutes, we write down all the attendees, and so I'm just making sure we get you all factored in. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And let's see, anyone else new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? Okay, for reintroductions, can I call on Jim Kelly to reintroduce himself? I know you've been at some calls before, but thought people might want to learn more about what your focus is.
Sure, I'd be happy to. This is Jim Kelly. I am the chairman of the board of PESC. PESC is a standards body, a post-secondary electronic standards council. I am also an independent consultant, Jim Kelly Technologies, former CIO of a company called ECE Educational Credential Evaluators. We did, they do foreign credential evaluation. I did that for quite a while. And my focus is really about national and international education and interoperability in all its forms. So,
great. Thank you, Jim. And I think we'll be very interested in having a focus on PESC in a future call, so I'll be reaching out to you to schedule that.
That's great.
Okay, so let's see. I think we don't have to do some of the usual boilerplate stuff. I think we can start moving to the main topic. And let me send out the link to that. Okay, so I just pasted the link into IRC, and then also it was in the email that went out. Let me back up for some context. So in the credentials community group, the parent group of this group, there have been a lot of efforts working on verifiable credential interoperability. And when I say verifiable, credential interoperability actually means the stack around exchanging, signing, things like that. So, and even the identity layer. So, in the credentials community group and related groups in W3C, we've historically not been so focused on the content of the credentials. We've been focused on what we call the wrapper or the envelope, and, you know, building out the ecosystem around that. So you end up seeing, you know, a lot of us are just kind of taking our best guess when it comes to coming up with samples. So, you know, here's one that I'll paste in to IRC. Like this one here that I've pasted in, that's just a best guess, a university degree verifiable credential. It was informed by other efforts like, you know, possibly open badges and things like that, but just, you know, streamlining it for verifiable credentials. But really, it's not based in any sort of well-known educational data standard. And we have a real opportunity and with the people who join this call to actually start informing the kinds of samples that people are using and make sure that they're based in the important work that we're doing, you know, not just the existing standards bodies like PESC, IMS Global, and now, well, also IEEE, CM4LTS, but then also in the broader networks like the T3 Innovation Network, who is pushing forward ILR prototypes. Now, there's already work underway that Jim Goodell and team have been working on, and actually I have a link to the draft in this document that I sent out, but I know they're about to finalize it soon, so that will be a different permanent link. But a big focus of that is getting interoperability at that envelope layer so that, say, a learner wallet could accept a wide range of credentials and expose key, and understand key metadata about the credentials. But the much harder work of mapping the content of those credentials to, you know, machine-readable credentials. And Ashani is going to ask everyone to mute themselves. I think we're getting some noise. Okay, that sounds better. So the mapping the contents, that's a much longer effort. And so the ILR wrapper is very critical first step for letting everyone, you know, talk about the same, you know, talk in the same way about varying types of credentials. But what we want to do here is understanding that, you know, the W3C credentials community group is not a standards developing org. What we do is we incubate standards and we sort of help along other groups and ultimately turn our artifacts over to standards development groups. So, you know, so if we wanted to do things like, say, start building out verifiable credentials that are rooted in competency frameworks, vocabularies that are being developed by these data standards development orgs and related groups, you know, what can we do to help that along? But then also turn over our results as recommendations and, you know, not necessarily assuming that these are the final version. So I call that out because really a lot of what we're focusing on in this group is building out, you know, supporting baseline credentials that we would use in prototypes like the ILR pilots and things like that. You know, and we want to, you know, through verifiable credentials, you can version the standards. You can make sure that, you know, you have the freedom to change it over time. But we want to be encouraging people to use the best possible practices that they can right now. And so I think the group that we have here has a good opportunity to start gathering that information, releasing samples that are good, you know, better starting points than what we currently have in the verifiable credentials community. And hopefully drawing more awareness to where people need to be, which standards bodies people need to be working with and looking for guidance from. So that's basically the context. And one thing I wanted to call out as out of scope is that, okay, so while we want to, you know, create samples that are, you know, using best practices, you know, maybe pointing to competency frameworks and learning pathways, we're not necessarily building for the end state where, okay, so I'll just describe what the end state would be in higher education institution. So it would be you've fully reformed all or updated the courses at course design time to be rooted in competencies and assessments so that in theory, student learners are getting these credentials as they go. So not just the end of end of the program credential and not even just the end of the course credential, but for each competency they're learning along the way, they might be able to get some kind of acknowledgement of that. So that, we all know, is a whole lot of work. And so we don't want to assume that we're at this end state. We want to build out credentials that we know people are kind of using right now in prototypes, but using the best practices. So I called out a few requirements. And first, I think I'd like to get finish up after requirements. I'll talk through the possible examples, and then I wanted to turn over for general feedback on the approach requirements. You know, this is a one of the first community work items, so we get to actually collaborate on this part. So the requirements that I've outlined is it must be a verifiable credential. That's really our focus here. And it must use linked data deeply. So it's not just, you know, say an XML string or a Base64 encoded string embedded in the credential. We want to actually be embedding payloads that are actually linked data. And so, yeah, I guess the next bullet in the requirements is another part around that. So we do want to use structured machine-readable data for key content, but there are also interesting cases where you want to have a hybrid of, you know, the machine-readable data, but then also some kind of human-readable presentation. So that might be a PDF or it might be some kind of image or, you know, representing the accomplishment. And we do want to be international aware. So one thing that that comes to mind is that a lot of the networks that we are in touch with in through the T3 Innovation Network are maybe more U.S. focused. Now, I know a lot of the standards they're building are adopted internationally, but we want to sort of actively engage different, you know, different kinds of inputs. So that, for example, we're designing for interoperability, and you know, not necessarily having to deal with the semantic mapping of credentials. That's another effort that T3 Innovation Network has been working on. But we want to be able to understand what these credentials might look like in a few different locales. So I'll give an example. In Europe, there's the European Qualification Framework, which has some amount of adoption. You know, we've had presentations in the past about EDCI, and so we want to, you know, start some samples, you know, with more international reach. I already talked about what's out of scope. And so what I wanted to call out as some possible approaches, so these are not saying these are either or, these are possible sources of inspiration. So Nate Otto, our generous scribe, and I did a paper a few years back modeling open badges as verifiable credentials. So that might be interesting in some cases because, you know, open badges already has, you know, strong adoption and ecosystem around it. So what if we can kind of have the best of both worlds there? Like I said, the ILR wrapper effort has already some samples in there. So are there any others that we should pull in here that are relevant to the use case? Any sort of things like schema.org terms and types? I see someone called out some specific examples you know, terms and types that are useful and actually have been used in some verifiable credentials already. And SEDS is listed, and any others. So I called out a few working examples, and the one that has the most detail on it is the course/program certificate. And I gave a couple of examples of what you might see in the wild. This is the very common thing that people want to build samples for. So the challenge here is, you know, how can we improve upon the baseline samples that that people have been doing already? And so this is sort of going through some mapping of saying, okay, what are the extracted fields of that credential and what are some approaches we could do? I won't go into the detailed approaches yet. I'm going to go to the other examples. So there's program course certificate was the first working example. The second working example is a diploma. You know, in terms of the content, maybe the format is roughly the same as working example one, but it's a different type of accomplishment. Working example three, transcript, that gets a lot more complex. Working example four, EDCI, I call that out because that's a very interesting example of a verifiable credential that is being currently expressed in XML, And that's to make it compatible with legally binding signatures required by EIDAS. So there may be some concerns that come out of that example that are also relevant for XML-based transcript definitions. And then we have working example 5, which is an open skills assertion. So it's describing a competency. So this seems critical for starting to, you know, explore how you would represent competencies. So the reason we have some working examples is if we can come up with something that we say, okay, this is a really good start, then you know, it's something that people can use in their pilots. But then also, you know, it helps point to the kind of vocabularies and definitions that people could be using. So, for example, credential engine registry, that's something that's not well known throughout the typical verifiable credentials community. So we have a real opportunity to point people to, you know, you can go to this place, look for these, you know, this is where you can browse types and things like that. I want to pause here before talking about sort of how we would go about each, get feedback on, you know, basically requirements, scope, and the working examples that I've called out here. Let me pause and check the queue real fast. Okay, Chris, I have you up.
Yeah, hi, Kim. Thanks.
Hi.
I don't have a strong opinion for what I'm about to ask because we're using JSON LD, but I know that in the verifiable credentials data model, it was pretty contentious about the inclusion of JWT. Is there a reason why we're mandating the JSON LD as a requirement?
We're not mandating it. I think the main reason is that there's, you know, throughout the educational credential pilots, there is actually strong interest in linked data. So JOTS, you know, we can really think about it as, look, like linked data is sort of the hard part in my mind, right? Like representing the credential as actually point, you know, semantically meaningful types and everything, that's the hard part. I think the main difference between JOTS and JSON-LD in the verifiable credentials world comes down to the different signature schemes. And so if someone wanted to use JOTS, they certainly could. I think that, you know, that's really kind of it, the main thing is it's not really the concern that people in our space are having. You know, a lot of the people who are using JOTS are using, you know, sort of different types of claims where these, you know, there's not all this history of work and, you know, around representing accomplishments and, you know, credential types. So that's my personal take on why we're deferring it. It might be worth calling out, you know, this would be another interesting opportunity at this point to figure out, like, you know, what sorts of use cases do people want to support. So, for example, if JOTS are important to people in our community, then another output could be, you know, representations of these samples as JOTS, you know, using JSON and JOTS as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Kim. I just mainly wanted to make sure the working group didn't get derailed if we didn't at least talk about it.
Yeah, that's great. But I would like to keep that open, and maybe I shall track as a question because I think this is also trying, you know, a lot of this set is informed by pilots that are underway through things like, you know, Digital Credentials Consortium, T3 Innovation Network. So this is sort of a best attempt to round up those types of things. JOTS haven't been called out yet as you know, important use case, but I would like to know. Let me put that in this requirements and scope. Okay. Let's see if we have anyone else in the queue. Okay. Let me go then to, let's see. Okay. Let's dig into working example one a little bit. So we included at the top some examples from the wild. So this is a MicroMaster certificate and this University of Pennsylvania certificate. And so, you know, the MicroMasters one represents the completion of an online series of courses. The University of Pennsylvania is just showing my first Coursera course. So, you know, this is interesting in that, I mean, they have some difference. Like, in the longer term, you might expect the MicroMasters to have, you know, more details about the set of courses it went with. But for now, we're just starting with, you know, straightforward taking this credential, you know, how you would model it. So we started calling out, we started extracting some fields, and I think there's already some discussion on the side about, you know, what the fields would be called and everything, what sort of vocabularies we would root these in. We have two approaches called out here. One is ILR wrapper with open badges, JSON-LD serialization, and PDF, and link competency definitions. So this is basically using the ILR wrapper format. And yes, there's open badges in there. And then this sample here, this linked badge class is calling out basically the linked definition of that badge class. So in data, I wish that it were easier to screen share on these calls, and actually we may be addressing that very soon. So in this approach one, this text that I've highlighted, so data ID, there's this example.org, Matthew Tracker Supply Chain Management Badge JSON. So that's some linked data that is called out down in the next highlighted chunk, which is the linked badge class. So this is useful in that it's calling out certain competency definitions, and you know, this is an example of a practice we could start spreading. Another example approach is the open badges as verifiable credentials approach. And you can notice that this looks a lot more like an open badge, and it can use many of the same elements. Like, for example, the badge class, I think we can actually just update this sample to say that it points to the same definition and things like that. So I would say that the main difference in these two approaches would be, you know, the first one seems to make sense if you're doing ILR pilots. The second one makes sense if you're, you know, it's a little lighter weight if you're working with something that knows open badges, you know, assuming that they're working towards the state of an open badge V3 that supports verifiable credentials, then that would be a reasonable way to go. I think what we would want to do here is discuss these options, discuss sort of likelihood of adoption in IMS, start engaging them as well. We have Leonard on the queue.
Yeah, I can. Thanks. I just wanted to add to, and it's somewhat orthogonal, but it's I think extremely important, is the fact that in a scenario like this where you know you need both human readable and machine readable, the fact that we don't want to separate those two elements, that if we can have a single payload, and I would choose the PDF as the standard carrier for both, we can incorporate all of that JSON material in whichever format or formats are selected. You could potentially have both inside of the document, and then you have a single machine-readable and human-readable document that can be distributed accordingly.
Yes, That's a really good point, and it's not called out as it was sort of a sub. It's just in parentheses of a requirement, but I think it's worth calling out that if you need both, then they're, like you said, they're linked. Like you can have, basically you want to be able to ensure the content integrity of display, of the machine readable display as well. Let me call that out. I'll clean up the language later. This is just a reminder to myself. Jim, you're up. Oh, sorry, Nate, you're up. And let me, I can scribe for you while you're talking, Nate.
Cool, thanks. Actually, perfect timing, Leonard, that you jumped in right ahead of me. There, as a note, in Open Badges, there's actually a pull request out right now that the Open Badges work group at IMS talked about last week. To embed Open Badges data in a PDF. Right now, it's possible to embed Open Badges data into a PNG image and into an SVG image, SVG being XML like PDF. A very similar method was described by the folks at Open Badge Factory as a proposal for Open Badges to pick up to be able to embed it in a PDF. That means that Open Badges can sort of be bidirectional. The image can contain the badge data, and then the badge data can also point to a graphic representation in terms of an image. But what I wanted to talk about also was another effort at IMS, which is that there I'm leading, along with Gabe Cohen from Workday, a task force at IMS that is investigating the use of DIDs in open badges as primarily recipient identifiers, but also identifying future work that is related in the space. So I don't know if anyone is on the call from IMS who would be even better than I am to talk about that effort and where it might go. But there is some collaboration channel there that may be interested in producing the 3.0 version that Kim mentioned may exist, where an open badge is delivered as a verifiable credential. And also we may, much sooner than a 3.0 version, which is probably at least 18 months away, we may discover ways in which we have sort of approved, blessed pilots to modify software to be able to accept that data into open badges systems prior to the finalization of a spec that supports it.
That's great. Thank you, Nate. Jim, you're up next.
I wanted to, thank you. I also wanted to talk about an alternative, I guess the way the ILR team approached this effort of having a human readable component in the ILR wrapper was to have a single ILR record with two payloads, where the first payload, well, order I don't think is critical, but one payload was computable JSON, and the second was the actual human readable, which could be Base64 or some other compressed data that's not readable on the fly, but that would have to be decoded. And that way the human readable component is transportable and storable, but the sum of the semantic knowledge related to that human readable component could be captured as a separate payload. So that was the approach the ILR wrapper took, which I was involved in, so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Great, and yes, the approach number one in working example one, which I've highlighted, will show that. So note that there's two, there's an array under learner records, and the first one has it in machine readable form, and then we have this second, you know what, I think that I messed up this, I was cleaning up the sample, and I think I messed it up because this one was supposed to be it was supposed to be a PDF. So let me come back to this. So yes, this highlighted section down here was at some point a PDF, and I think I mixed it up. So okay, let's see if we have anyone else in the queue. I think one thing I wanted to talk about is the transcripts part in particular. And actually, Jim, if it's okay, can I was curious to talk about what you're saying in the comments about PEP considering JSON or JSON-LB versions. Can you talk to that briefly?
Sure. There's a JSON, PESC has a JSON-LD task force that's been working for some time. They have produced a method and published a method to convert XML to JSON, but that's an on-the-fly conversion, so that's one thing. The discussion now is creating and the, there is really the recognition that there is the need for JSON versions, at least JSON versions of our XML standards. And we have, like, I don't know how many standards, quite a few, but we're talking about starting with the college transcript and the high school transcript and creating an analog to the XML version, which would be in either JSON or JSON-LD, and we're still. I don't want to set the wrong expectation. This process is beginning. We do have some tools which will help us. We hope create examples of the XML data in JSON, which we can then work to change and approve quickly. So we're hoping that this process is not an extended process. So we could have. I guess it would be a mistake for me to put a time frame on it, but the process is underway, and I have high hopes that it will happen more rapidly than if we were building these standards from scratch.
That's interesting what you said about the first case with, I think, now I'm not remember if it was JSON or JSON-LD that's generated on the fly. Is that for, was that done for just basically the, I would imagine the sort of obvious reason, like if you have XML, and if you're wanting to quickly get a signature like JSON-LD signatures, you know, then just mapping the XML to JSON-LD to get that signature. Is that sort of the flow that was intended with that
transformation? That suggests that you already have the XML. So
right.
you're either producing XML or you've received X. You're either producing XML and you have somebody else who wants it in JSON, or you're receiving XML and you would want to deal with it in JSON. That conversion tool mm-hmm. gives you the ability to handle that.
Okay.
It could absolutely be used to use the existing standard to create an XML version, run the conversion into JSON, and then plug that into a VC. So that certainly would be, I think, it would be actually good to test.
We have a whole other thread that I still haven't made it through yet about because this comes to the other question about how verifiable credentials is supposed to be an abstract data model, but how far can you go with, you know, the idea of JSON-LD transformation to RDF and similarly XML to RDF. So I'm not sure what the weak links are at the moment, but there are lots of other approaches like that. Like if you have a deterministic way to, you know, get from your XML to JSON-LD, then that would certainly be an approach as well. I think that's the other fork of this effort is trying to do some detective work within W3C to find out, what other efforts have been underway to actually do this work, because we've been kind of hand-waving around, it's all RDF for too long. Jim, you're up next.
I just wanted to ask Jim Kelly if he thought that the PESC work group would be interested in others from this community, or working with others from this community and getting, it seems like the JSON LD experts are in this community and the PESC transcript experts are in the PESC community, and working together might accelerate that process.
I would be more than happy to champion that effort. I agree with that premise, and I'd be more than happy to bring that up and see if we can find a way to work together. We certainly have other examples of work groups that are structured in a similar way, so with members from that are not PESC members. So that should be possible, and I think it's an extremely good idea. Thank you.
Sophia, you're up next.
I just wanted to mention that there's similar work for converting XML to JSON or JSON-related, to JSON in particular, in the publishing working group, because we have what we're calling the publishing manifest that serves as just a list of metadata for ebooks and audiobooks, and most of the publishing world has their metadata in XML. So there's very parallel work, and we'll see an overlap in the world of textbooks, obviously. So we might want to explore where that overlap exists, because we'll need to see a lot of the same information converted to JSON from XML.
Great. That's really good to know. So it's the publishing working group.
Yeah, that's the group that I chair with Wendy and Garth Convoy.
Okay, great. So one other topic I wanted to tee up from the discussions happening in the comments in the document. Leonard, I was wondering if you could talk a little more about, I think we had just sort of stated offhand, like, PDF as not machine readable, and I think we're all aware about the ability to store metadata in PDF, but I think that some of the comments that you were saying were in giving the impression that there's something deeper that we weren't yet aware of. I was curious to just hear from you about sort of what you were thinking about PDF and its role in this.
Yeah, and I'll do the 10,000 foot view thing, and we can always explore it deeper in the future. And there's a couple of aspects here. One is that, as was pointed out earlier, you have a choice when you think about what your container for your information is. Is your container, do you focus on JSON or XML or whatever is your container, and then take whatever binary representations, your visual presentation, and stick it in there? Or, as also was pointed out by Jim and in Open Badges, you could also put the badge into a PNG or into an SVG, or, as you said, into a PDF, and then that becomes your primary container for all of the information. So I think the first question, of course, is deciding which or potentially both of those approaches the group wants to go with. Specific for PDF, the thing is that most people just think of it as a printing page without considering the semantics that are behind it. That just as with HTML, you have rich semantics. You understand paragraphs and tables and sections, but unlike HTML, you can directly associate rich metadata directly on any of those objects. So you're not limited to document-level objects. So it's sort of like if you could attach, schema.org information or RDFA in the old days directly to individual elements within the HTML, you can do that within the PDF. And so you could have each of those individual objects identified. And you can also link between them. So, if you looked at the example you were pointing out earlier, Cam, where you were talking about, here's the embedded thing for, this particular aspect. You don't have to have that embedded data twice. It's already there in the human presentation. You could directly link to that element. And you can do it both within the document or across documents. All of the linking capabilities that you expect in JSON-LD can be done, again, for PDF, and that's all standard. And everything I've talked about here is standardized, either by the ISO, where both PDF and XMP take place, or the IETF, where URL and fragment standardization is done.
Great, that's really helpful. One of the sort of avenues of investigation that I was doing alongside of this is, hash links versus trust URIs. Like, if you're wanting to represent claims that you're pointed to, have a content integrity hash on those. And one area that I came to through trust URIs is one of their use cases was called nano publications. And what you're describing with PDF and sort of the paragraph level metadata is really interesting because it seems like a good way to express that, right? So it's not just, human readable thing versus machine readable. It's like you can subdivide the document and, each part you can sort of individually have its own rich metadata. So that's very interesting. Let me check the queue real fast. Okay, so we are no one on the queue. We have about 10 minutes left. Any other, so I wanted to also back up to a question and see, are there any other use cases that people are interested in adding to this effort or not even use case, any considerations that we've left out that we should talk about whether to bring in scope? And I'll mention that, but just add yourself onto the queue if you have anything. And then I think the other area, I'm not sure if we have someone on the call to speak to it, but the other area I wanted to highlight is, working example four, EDCI. We had Anthony Camilleri on the call to talk about the EDCI effort and how they're using, XML verifiable credentials, and that's for EIDAS compliance. So it does require XML signatures. So I think that and there's a question on the CCG mailing list right now to talk about what are the best possible paths for this. But, this one's really interesting to me because this is a case where we have a real-world use of verifiable credentials. It's using XML, but, from the sort of quote-unquote official verifiable credentials standard, it's not really clear how they all work together. So what can we do to help that along? What sort of guidance can we give? And this also fits into the same conversation we were just having about TESC, do we need, from a verifiable credentials perspective, what sort of guidance can we give for XML-based standards now? So I think that this one calls out a few cases where there's sort of a lot of deeper questions about, how from an XML, from a verifiable credentials data model perspective, what changes, if any, are needed, what sort of schemas, like XML schemas or whatever, should we host as official W3C documents to make that easier? What tooling are we missing? And even after all this work, are we fitting the original use case of EIDAS signatures? So I think although that seems like a very specific use case, I think it's very interesting because it is the common way of expressing, legally binding signatures in Europe. And I think it's really worth exploring how verifiable credentials works with that. I wanted to call out if there may be some other use cases along those lines. If someone is aware of any that seem important, feel free to add them. Leonard, you're up next.
Yeah, I just wanted to let folks know. So the EIDAS standards are based on a set of standards, the ADAS standards, SHA-DAS for XML, CADAS for CMS, and PADAS for PDF. There's a new one being worked on right now called SHA-DAS for JSON. So, and it's in process. You know, it will take a little time, of course, to finish that up this year with everything going on. But that should also help going forward, and people will be able to comply with the EIDAS regulations and the JSON and JSON-LD base.
That's good to know. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else on the queue. Nate, you're up.
Thanks. Briefly, Leonard, you had asked previously for a link to the pull request about open badge data inside of PDFs as a verifiable transport format for open badges data. It looks like that is not a link that I have a public one, but you can contact the company Open Badge Factory directly, and they can give you a slide deck that describes their proposal, or you can contact Don Prezant at kencred.ca. They're partners with Open Badge Factory. And so Don at CanCred and Eric Roussel at Open Badge Factory are the ones pushing that forward.
Thank you very much.
And that's for the Open Badges PDF effort?
Yeah, that's right.
And just to clarify, it sounded like what you said was a PDF. Okay, when you're baking badges, you know, right now you can bake it in image files. So is it basically baking it as a PDF as well?
Yeah, exactly. Like a specific place, a tag that you put into the XML of the PDF document at the sort of root of the document that is like, here is the Open Badges content for this document. So it's very, very similar to how Open Badges data is included into SVG.
Great. Okay, I think that was all the speakers we have. We are 5 minutes ahead of time, so if there's nothing else, I think we can close early. I think we have a few areas of investigation. I think the longest poll one seems to be the XML path of inquiries, so I think that one will be going along as we go. But I think it would be good to keep adding any comments and discussion in the document. I'm going to make a pass over it this week to try to incorporate some of the comments and track these investigations we need to do. Also feel free to continue adding any additional questions about scope or use cases. And we will be coming back to this in the future weeks. So even though we have a pretty packed agenda over the next few weeks with guest speakers, but since this is our first sort of official work item, we can come back to it, check on progress, report out, get any comments or questions. So let me do one quick. Okay, yes. Yeah, so thank you, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now I'm geared up to type fast for the rest of the day. My fingers are all worked out.
That was some fine typing there.
Thanks. All right, cheers all.